It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so it is that we are off and running on this 23rd day of March, 2021. Roughly 24 hours since the latest massacre in the great big bloody shooting gallery that is the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, under God, forever. And, we're going to be talking about it. The massacre in Boulder. And we're going to talk about it. And it's going to maybe provide a little bit of catharsis. But on the governmental end of things, nothing's going to change. At least nothing's going to change as long as Mitch McConnell and his trusty ally, Joe Manchin, get to make sure it doesn't change. Hi, I'm Robin. And of all the topics that we have talked about on this program for as long as this program has existed, gun violence in America is probably the one that we have talked about the most. Because it keeps happening. And we keep pointing out the rather obvious solutions. Obvious, one might think, but not to a Republican. No, no. And we will get to all of that in short order, but every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Y'all are the ones who keep this program on the air and enable these conversations, these chats we have, where sometimes all we can do is lean on one another and weep. Or come near collapsing in each other's arms, shake our heads, wring our hands, and hope against hope that somewhere along the way, this manages somehow to get better. And we will probably be doing that again this evening. Thanks go out to our 23rd day of the month subscribers. Thank you so very much for being partial sponsors and helping to keep this program on the air. Thank you, Stacy. Thank you, Reggie. Thank you, David. Thank you, one and all, for what you do to make sure this program continues to exist. And so with David jumping in, that means our fundraising goal for the evening is down to $440. And that's very helpful indeed. Most helpful. Thank you, David. And I've got some early correspondence. And we have Joey's journal. And then we will get into the bloody business of trying to, once again, understand why this country has to periodically bathe in blood. What it is that makes us so thoroughly committed to taking a metaphor that Thomas Jefferson wrote in a letter and turning it into its literal horror. The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. They are its natural manure. Probably one of the most hateful, despicable, disgusting things that he ever wrote. Tara Devlin and I talked about this some years back. About how we should give the Thomas Jefferson Natural Manure Award to the surviving family members of massacres. Because that's what he said, that people who get gunned down are. Natural manure. I mean, none of those 10 people were tyrants. I guess that makes them patriots. But he said it's natural manure. There's a lot of things about Thomas Jefferson that aren't particularly uplifting. Keeping a woman of color enslaved in a room that had no exterior entrance or exit so that he could rape her at will. That's one of those things. Before we do get into the bloody gist of the program, though, a hopeful update comes in from our buddy Dave in the blind. He says the doctors are taking Christine off the medication that's keeping her asleep, and they're going to wait 72 hours and see if she wakes up on her own. After that, they'll be testing to see what's the matter. It's hopeful, and I found out today I will not be able to go and see her because her brother and her sister have already gone to see her. That's okay with me. I'm still trying to find a place to foster one of her cats so we don't have to turn them over to the animal control. My landlord is helping me by letting me keep one of the cats, which is a big sacrifice for him because he's allergic to them. Little acts of decency. Well, you're all, you and most especially Christine, Dave, are in our thoughts and so remain. I had a number of notes from people overnight saying that they're holding you and Christine closely in their hearts. Just please, as you are able, Dave, keep us posted. We love you both. And I had a note. It had been it's been a while since we've heard from our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown. Subject line, anniversary. Sorry I haven't written in a couple of months, Paul tells us. I'm always so busy. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. Did I do that part? I've been working at the lab with mandatory overtime for a long time, Paul tells us. We got a 4-week break in overtime from Valentine's Day week until last week, but now we're back on mandatory overtime. I've been living in on isolation protocols since March the 13th, 2020. But today is the anniversary of working the swing shift from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m., or in the case of overtime, 12 p.m. to 11 p.m. It has been so difficult. My wife works in the morning, so I haven't really seen her in a year. I miss her so much. We both are so tired of not seeing each other, and we can't wait until things go back to some semblance of normal. In honor of this anniversary, I want to put out the I am so sick of this shit challenge. If you're sick of this shit, please contribute to the horn, and your money will be doubled by me up to $150. But I'm also sure Robin's sick of this tooth shit, so I'll also match any money I give to the horn with money to Robin's oral surgery fund. That's right, you put in $150 for the program, I'll give $150 to the horn and double your money, and then I'll kick $150 into the oral surgery fund. I got a little extra money to give what with working all this overtime. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Now, for the COVID report. A lot of us at the lab are very worried about these COVID variants. The ones coming out of New York and L.A. are especially scary. And, of course, we had the story yesterday that some 30% of new cases right now are the U.K. variant in the United States. And somehow or another, I haven't heard any press releases out of Mar-a-Lago referring to the British virus. Racism is racism is racism. And that's all that's all that bloody China virus business was just plain racism. But that's me. I'm stepping on Paul's message, and I apologize. The ones coming out of New York and L.A. are especially scary. No one at the lab is relaxing their protocols. Some of us are tired, but we remain vigilant, and you should too. Oh, mercy. Twice today. I got out of the car and went sashaying toward the whatever business I was headed toward. And I turned around, what are you doing? And went back and put my mask on. And it's just, it's a complete mindfulness dropout. But I didn't go in, and I put my mask on, and I wasn't close to anybody, so, Some of us, Paul says, at the lab are getting vaccinated, but this does not change our social distancing policies or isolation protocols. Some of us are double masking, including myself. The lab has not come out with an official policy yet, but the rumor mill is saying that every employee on site can be vaccinated and they wouldn't change a thing. The main reason is that these COVID variants could be resistant to the vaccine. While it's hard to tell, since the variants are just getting started, we're not liking what we're seeing in the data. And by we, Paul means real live, no kidding, honest to goodness, scientists. I am happy to hear that some of the horn have already been or are in the process of getting vaccinated. I must warn you that even if you are vaccinated, there is a good chance you're not safe as you would like. My advice is that even if you are vaccinated, pretend you're not. Keep up the social distancing, keep wearing a mask, and keep doing what you've been doing. You need to think of your vaccination as the last line of defense against the virus, not the first one. You need to keep it up until at least June and see how the data are shaking out. By then, we should be able to tell if the variants are getting under control or burning up the country. We can beat this thing and the variants if we stay vigilant. I wish I could call in, but I'm hard at work when the show is on. I miss being part of the conversation. I have a few questions that Robin or anyone else could weigh in on. The first question is, why aren't the Democrats more assertive, aggressive in handling the Republicans and those who participated in the insurrection? I'm tired of the downplaying that seems to be happening. I feel a lot of people don't understand how close we came to losing the country on January 6th. They had a first and goal situation, and they were stopped and had to turn the ball over. Now I have to hear pundits and other people tell me it was no big deal. I mean, hell, how many, and I had this editorially, how many, because it was several, Republicans voted no on awarding the Congressional Gold Medal to the defenders of the Capitol because they said it wasn't fair to call it an insurrection. I'm sure they would prefer to call it a rehearsal. Or how about a failed revolution? Would that be more to their liking? No big deal. Paul says, I find that so frustrating, and I feel like it's gaslighting. I know you need to be patient for the investigations, and the Attorney General was only recently confirmed, but I've had a bad taste left in my mouth from the Mueller investigation. I understand that. Am I wrong to be thinking about this so cynically? Do you think actual justice will be served, or will it be just foot soldiers that followed the Pied Piper's music into the Capitol? Well, the assistant U.S. attorney who spoke supposedly out of turn and certainly without the approval of the Justice Department higher-ups and said he believes the evidence will support charges of sedition. Well, that kind of roiled the DOJ. They felt like that, well, it just wasn't sporting. You know, I say, old shoe, it is not cricket. To comment on an investigation that is ongoing. And I think that's what Paul, and share y'all's thoughts, please, too. But I think that's what Paul is sensing, that it's not going to go far enough, it's not going to go high enough, and the net will not be cast broadly enough. Because people like Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, yeah, she needs to be frog-marched out of the Capitol, so does Marjorie Trader Green Q-tip. And Josh Hawley and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. And a whole lot of others. Mo Brooks, Les Brains, needs the treatment. So I understand Paul's misgivings. I'm also frustrated, Paul notes, with the lack of movement on the minimum wage. It hasn't been raised since 2009. It's outrageous. We're 7 years away from a new single mom who had her child in 2009 that works in the fast food industry, having her 18-year-old child working right next to her with the same wage she started at. I know that sounds bleak, but I see nothing happening in the next 7 years to prevent that scenario. Well, we can possibly have a correction in 2022. And it requires Democrats to be as strong or stronger than they were in 2020. And to not take no for an answer. And to take back Senate seats in fairly impossible places like Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina. To defeat a little human floater like Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, to snag a seat in Ohio. Because what you have is enough Democrats in the Senate to make irrelevant Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. So I don't think Paul's that far off. I feel the same way, he adds, about the Iraq-Afghanistan conflict. We have soldiers over there that have parents that fought on the same soil for the same cause with no end in sight. Why aren't these arguments made in the media? Why can't pundits get on air and embarrass them into action? Well, it all has to do with what the suits want to hear and don't want to hear. We're dying out here, Paul says. Disease, income inequality, random gun violence, and there's no end in sight. Everyone agrees it's a problem, but if you can't tax cut your way out of the problem, we're just stumped now in America. What has to happen to stop this? We could vote them out, but they're hard at work at voter suppression laws. Poll after poll say we want minimum wage increased, some level of gun control, COVID aid, infrastructure. All these things are highly popular, and we can barely get them to pass, if at all. What are we missing as a people to get government to move on these issues? I'm afraid that if we don't change our game, they will take this country from us next time. Am I wrong? I think you're absolutely right in positing the notion that there will be a next time. There will be a next time. Failed insurrections that are not punished within the fullest extent of the law are, as has been said previously, I think our pal Joey in Ann Arbor was one of them, they're rehearsals. Rehearsals. And lastly, a long-distance dedication to my wife, says Paul. It has been tough on both of us, but she has worked hard to keep spirits up. One of her more brilliant ideas was to start fostering puppies and dogs for a local rescue shelter in town. It gives the not-so-little 10-year-old that lives here so much joy as she cuddles puppies and plays with them in the backyard. It's getting even better now that the sun's coming out again. My wife has worked so hard to make everyone a little bit happier throughout this very tough year. Here's hoping we see more of each other soon. Stay vigilant, Horn community. We're hopefully in the last months of this. Everyone's been doing so well. Don't relax. We're almost there. Stay safe and stay healthy. My best thoughts to you all. And that's Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for your messages. Thank you for your letters. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your help. We can, with Paul's help, we can wipe out tonight's fundraising and just have yesterday's 140 to finish. Thank you so much. And God, the psychic pain, the psychic exhaustion that must come from, as he describes it, not seeing the person he loves for damn near a year. And Paul's actively working to try to keep people alive. Talk about essential workers. You don't get much more essential than Paul from Parts Unknown. You know. And so that's why when Paul says stay vigilant, that's why I keep saying keep 15 feet between you and someone else with a mask on. Humanly possible. The CDC says now that we can have little school kids within 3 feet of each other because their little bodies fight the virus better than grown-ups do. But there's still not a heck of a lot of quality input on how you keep those little bodies from giving the virus to, say, a teacher who may not yet have been vaccinated, because we are nowhere near herd immunity. And thanks to Republicans, we may never get there. Yeah, I'm a little ray of sunshine. Sorry. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. And thank you, Ralphs, for jumping in. That's $140 to go on the I'm So Sick of This Shit Challenge, courtesy of Paul from Parts Unknown. On back to the Tree of Liberty for a minute. Billable Rick says, have you ever discussed that Thomas Jefferson quote with Dr. Bill? To your knowledge, has he ever discussed its deeper meaning, if any, on one of his shows? I don't know that he has, but I know that we have discussed it. And we've talked about how problematic Jefferson, and he's talked about this on his programs, how problematic Jefferson is. How he used so many high-minded ideals and words and philosophies and then went back home and raped his slaves some more. And I don't just throw that word around. Even his own contemporaries said that was what he was doing. He called them political enemies. Mm-hmm. Megan, subject line, Democrats and beating chests. Pretty sure investigations are happening out of the public eye. The FBI has been putting tip lines on YouTube and arrests have been made. You don't broadcast stuff when you're trying to make cases to put people away. Also, the Democrats just got there. It's going to take more than 60 days to undo all this shit. And as I said before, people need to hold their own representatives responsible. Take the same letters and emails you send to Robin, change the addresses, and send them in. The problem is too many think they don't have the power, and they do. Yeah, if there was ever a time to not take no for an answer, this is it. On a variety of fronts. And also a note as to the prosecutions of the insurrectionists. Also think of it in terms of how a prosecutor will go after a drug case. You might have a low-level user who's been popped with an 8-ball of cocaine. And you lean on that person to give up the person they got it from. And then you go lean on that person. And you keep leaning until you get to the top of the heap. And that's how you build a case against the people who fomented this insurrection, too. You start at the bottom, and you say, okay, you know, fine. You don't want to give up the people above you? You don't want to give up the organizational structure? That's great. You know, enjoy 20 years in Supermax. Because we're going to use every bit of our persuasive power to make sure that you go away for a long, long time. It has a profound coercive power, that sort of thing. Tree of Liberty, says Lee in New York. No, no. These people are murderers. They're not watering the Tree of Liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. We have a weed of brutality. It's hard to kill and keep showing up again. There's nothing lasting and beneficial from these murders. To them, any action they do is legal. Any action they oppose is a crime. They do not understand liberty. Liberty is not your freedom. It is our freedom. And some of that freedom is that you do not have the liberty to do anything you damned well want. And I think we'll get into some of that in fairly short order. David noting insurrection, and of course Donald Trump will skate free per usual. Well, it depends on how far up the, how many people they can get to roll on the way up the ladder. As for voting no on the police officer's award of the Congressional Gold Medal, Stephen New York says, voting no is one thing. Louis Asparagus Gohmert proposed an alternative resolution that removed mention of the insurrection and merely says that Sicknick, who died while responding to the insurrection, merely passed in January 2021. Specific language. Most recently, we mourn the losses of Capitol Police officers Brian Sicknick and Howard Liebengood and Metropolitan Police Department officer Jeffrey Smith, all who passed away in January 2021. This, says Steve in New York, is disgusting beyond words. These fuckers think they're entitled to have people give up their lives for them. They are truly, and this is so true, pro-death. Megan adding, it's not complicated. It's human beings not giving a shit about other human beings. It's valuing hunks of metal over living, breathing human beings. It's valuing what you think those hunks of metal represent over other human beings. We can go on and on about everything under the sun, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to teach people that lead is more important than life. No, Lee, that is not the same eight ball. An eight ball of cocaine is not the same as my magic eight ball with the cracked screen that says answer hazy, ask again later. Not by a long shot. I don't want any eight balls of any cocaine anywhere. Hell, I would prefer it was not in the same county with me, but let's see, there's a decent chance it is. Right. Dan asking, so before you ask Liberty to sit, shouldn't Liberty water the Tree of Liberty? Liberty can pee on all the guns she wants to. Yeah. And of course, it wouldn't be Titanic Tuesday, or it wouldn't be the 23rd of March, or no. Fortunately for us, we have Joey's journals. Puns, not guns. Is there anything that can be said about these many massacres that continue to take place in this country? Asks Joey. Oh no, not today, Jeffrey. But no, there's Jeffrey. Hell, I'm just waiting for Majority Loser Green from Georgia. You know, the one who wants to bring her gun to class in Congress and even filibusters her own party. Just wonder when they finally tell Marjorie Traitor Greene that she's out of time and attempt to silence her, if she just won't pull out a gun with a silencer and tell the speaker, no, Nancy, you're out of time. And then they just start shooting. Hell, animals don't even behave this way. When's the last time you saw a giraffe pull out a gun and shoot somebody? I mean, think about it. Or even the ones with, you know, arms, Jeffrey. I don't mean like shooting arms. That's a good point, Jeffrey, but giraffes are far more civilized than humans, and they would never massacre each other as we humans do. It's like the one time that the Pink Panther spoke. I think the episode was Nora's Ark. And at the end of that episode, the Pink Panther turned to the camera and said, why can't men be more like animals? Yeah, because to call the people who perpetrate these mass slaughters animals is to denigrate animals and make the murderers more than what they are. Yeah. Jeffrey, meanwhile, continues to act up. Yes, and if they had a flick featuring giraffes gone bad, it would be... Wait for it. Yes, if they had a flick with giraffes breaking bad, it would be... Jurassic Park. Oh. Oh, Jeffrey. You're trying so hard. So Joey asks, where's Lauren Boebert right now? Is Clanny Oakley going to do another commercial about her bar restaurant and how everybody should carry a gun into the joint because of all the good guys carry a gun? They can kill all the bad guys except for the fact that a good guy cop in Boulder, Officer Talley, had a gun, 51 years old, on the force for a long time, and now he's dead. He's dead. Even though he had a gun. Kind of made me wonder if any of the victims, besides the Boulder police officer, might have been carrying. Because it kind of goes to prove the truism that the first shot always goes to the ambusher. Your gun will not save you in an ambush. Only your brains and a lot of luck. Right? Yeah. So much for all the good guys carry guns garbage, because that argument got shot down every time. Damn it, Jeffrey, please stop filibustering Joey. Oh, I love to filibuster Joey at this point. Just one more reason to get rid of the filibuster. No, not to stop me from filibustering Joey, but this country needs to get rid of the filibuster so we can get rid of the NRA and begin putting gun legislation in place to hopefully stop these senseless massacres. More on that. Jeffrey is correct. Joey notes this will be a titanic task, but the will of the people must prevail, because 90% of the people in this country want stricter gun law and legislation. Says Joey, 90% of the people want some form of gun control, and the will of the people and its people cannot continue to be shot down. And finally, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, believe that everybody should carry a pun in their pocket and not a gun. God, would the world be a better place? Without a doubt. As awful as some of Giraffe's puns can be, I'll take Giraffe with a pun in his pocket over some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian with a gun in his any day of the week. This has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, the 23rd day of March, 2021, with Giraffe attempting to punch out the NRA. That's a $10 pun in the pocket challenge. I tell you what, we will see that as having been met by Ralphs. And that'll leave us the $150 to go on the So Sick of This Shit challenge, courtesy of Paul from Parts Unknown. Could we take that out fairly quickly? That would be awesome if we could. And again, that would leave us with only $140 from yesterday. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe. And so now we come to the portion of the program where I have to say something about what happened yesterday. One of the somethings I can say is that I have been saying somethings about these massacres for, oh my God, 18 years. Yeah. More or less. And we've been aching together for 18 years, more or less. And nothing's been done for 18 years, more or less. Today was by far not the loveliest day of 2021 so far. It was overcast, it was windy. A little bit cool. I don't think it ever got much past 60. But there's a little point of rock. I guess you'd call it a cliff. That overlooks the gorge, and you can see the bridge at about a mile distant. It's an exquisite view. And it's a great place to just, you know, throw on your Camelback or whatever, or take a couple of bottles of water in your pocket. Because, you know, you really don't want to take any potables out there or smoke anything. Because, like I said, it's just a cliff with 800 feet of air below you. But it's a nice place to go and sit, and about this time of day, watch the sun sink into the western end of the New River Gorge. I mean, it's beautiful. It's lovely. And it's a great little mental health break. Days like this, I feel like you kind of need one. But no. I wasn't going to play hooky. No, there's no buffering. I think what you're hearing is the noise gate kicking in, Steve. Because I've got the air conditioner running to keep it cool in here. We're already there in March. No, climate change is all bullshit, right? So that's what that noise is. Unless it's actual, no kidding, buffering. And I'm not seeing any word on that elsewhere. But in trying to come up with something meaningful to say about this, yet this day when yet or yesterday when yet another spin was taken on the NRA's roulette wheel, oh death, la jeu s'en fait. Where it landed on Boulder, Colorado, as it has, for some reason or another, keeps landing in Colorado, Aurora, Columbine, Boulder, and something like 9 school shootings beyond that, or 9 mass shootings since Columbine. And you can tick off the names of the dead. You can point out the name of the shooter. And on this program, I admit when I'm wrong. The shooter was not a young, white, Christian male, for a change. No, he was an individual of some sort of apparently Arabic extraction. And I might note that the Arabic nations are in Asia, making him an Asian. So that we don't know yet. There hasn't been sufficient reporting. There hasn't been reporting at all on his motive. But it doesn't take a whole lot to make you think that, well, hey, I wonder if that was payback for Atlanta. One young male with a gun getting retribution for the actions of another young male with a gun. Kind of hard to avoid that question, isn't it? But, well, no. The password is culpability. The password is culpability. Because there are some pretty special extenuating circumstances in this particular case. Because this was entirely foreseeable and preventable. And while we so often point out that nothing happens after these shootings, something happened. In the aftermath of the slaughter at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida a few years back, the city council of Boulder, Colorado, unanimously, I do believe, voted to make possession of high-capacity magazines and assault rifles like the AR-15 illegal to possess inside the city limits of Boulder. Because Colorado has bled a lot in the last 25 years. Again, Columbine, Aurora, and some 7 or 9 other mass shootings. Yeah. And so the Boulder City Council passed an ordinance that no. We can't ban firearms altogether, but, you know, the Heller decision said that we can make rules that are rationally related to public safety, and some firearms can be banned, and it wasn't some wild-eyed liberal who said that. No, it was fat, dead Tony Scalia, who, like Rush Limbaugh, is in fact still dead. But there were a couple of people, a couple of residents of Boulder, and there was a group of gun humpers from Colorado, and they were supported by the National Ruble Association, and they sued the city of Boulder. And the lawsuit to stop this assault weapons ban had been pending until about 10 days ago. And during that time, law enforcement in Boulder were instructed to enforce the damn law. And so if somebody was seen with an AR-15, they were picked up, they were arrested, they were charged with possession. Pretty sure. But 10 days ago, the password is culpability. 10 days ago, the lawyers and the gun humping organizations and the individual citizen gun humpers in Boulder and one judge prevailed. The judge said the gun humpers prevailed. And the judge issued an order striking down the Boulder ordinance. And from that moment forward, law enforcement were told, no, you see somebody walking around with an AR-15, you got to leave them alone, because us trying to prevent a goddamn Marjorie Stoneman Douglas or Aurora-style massacre in Boulder, well, that gave the gun humpers a sad. And so 10 days ago, they stopped enforcing the law. If that law had been enforced as of yesterday, if a cop had seen the shooter with his AR-15 Freedom Protector, he could have apprehended him. As it turns out, he got shot in the leg, but he's recovering. He walked out under his own steam last night. But like I said, culpability. What do we mean when we say culpability? Culpable. Does it mean to be culped? Capable of being culped? No, it means legitimately worthy of blame. Under the ordinance as it was passed unanimously, the possession, transfer, and sale of most shotguns and certain pistols and semi-automatic rifles with pistol grips, a thumb hole stock, or any protruding grip that allowed a weapon to be stabilized with the non-trigger hand was banned. But they also established a permit system for anybody who had previously owned one of those things. They banned large-capacity magazines. They said any ammunition feeding device with the capacity to accept more than 10 rounds. Again, reasonable, rational. It was March of 2018 when the thing was passed that City Attorney Tom Carr of Boulder said, "I hope and pray we never have a mass shooting in Boulder. What this ordinance is about is reducing on the margins the ease with which somebody could do that." And it's just the north central region of Colorado that has seen 9 school shootings since Columbine. Yeah, One of the plaintiffs was the Colorado State Shooting Association. Yeah. Dawn Reinfield, co-founder of Colorado Gun Violence Prevention Group Blue Rising, said the court's appalling timing was hard to ignore. We tried to protect our city. It's so tragic to see the legislation struck down and days later to have our city experience exactly what we were trying to prevent. But hey, you know what? The Colorado State Shooting Association and the National Rifle Association were happy about the ruling. The NRA was so happy they put out a happy, happy tweet. NRA victory in Colorado! In case you missed it, a Colorado judge gave law-abiding gun owners something to celebrate. In an NRA-ILA-supported case, he ruled that the city of Boulder's ban on commonly owned rifles, AR-15s, and 10-plus round mags was preempted by state law and struck them down. And the judge who struck it down on the 12th day of March 2021 was Boulder County District Judge Andrew Hartman, who said that his understanding of a law from 2003 passed by the Colorado legislature prevents cities and counties from restricting guns that are otherwise legal under federal or state law. Then there's the Heller decision, where Fat Dead Tony said it's absolutely constitutional for municipalities to limit the ownership of certain firearms. So, to Boulder County, and I don't do this. I don't. But I'm gonna, because I'm sick of this shit. Just like Paul from Parts Unknown, sick of this shit challenge. I'm sick of this shit. So I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to use any dirty words. I'm just going to say one thing. Boulder County District Judge Andrew Hartman, kill yourself. I don't care how. Go get an AR-15. Put a bump stock on it. Stick it in your mouth and lean on it so it'll pour 100 fucking rounds through your goddamn brain. Oops, I said I wasn't going to cuss. I cussed. Get in a warm bath. Open your veins. Let your life run out into the warm, warm tub like life ran out of 10 innocent people in a grocery store in Boulder yesterday. Judge Hartman, kill yourself. Have a little common decency. Take ownership of the filthy, filthy, filthy thing you did, Judge Hartman. Kill yourself. It's not like it's unknown in human cultures. In some Asian cultures, certainly in some European cultures, to so thoroughly shame oneself that life would become unbearable. He called for that sort of thing. Romans falling on their swords, or draining their life out in a warm tub. Seppuku, harikiri. Because how can Judge Andrew Hartman, with his black robes and his feigned objectivity, his neutrality and his fairness, stand his own life anymore? I'd say the same thing for the Colorado Shooters Association, but they don't have souls. They don't have consciences. They don't have morals. All they have is a fetish for firearms and an inability to comprehend that human lives are more important than their gun fetish is. I'm really struggling not to cuss here. Boulder County District Judge Andrew Hartman at least needs a few thousand citizens of Boulder surrounding his house and demanding his resignation. But I think the people of Boulder would be far better off if he would take the honorable way out. Admit your fault and remove yourself from the society of decent human beings. Were I the Boulder County District Judge, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, that's what I would do. I could not stand myself. I could not bear to see the sun rise another day on my miserable, blood-soaked being. Do it, Judge. Do it. Your Honor, do the honorable thing. Writing in that sort of dusty, dry legalese that judges like to write in, that ignores the flesh and bone and blood and sinew of our human existence. He said, "The need for statewide uniformity favors the state's interest in regulating assault weapons. This ordinance could create a ripple effect across the state, and other municipalities might pass their own bans." In other words, he cared more about the goddamn guns than he cared about the poor, bleeding, dead people. Kick him out of the country club. Parents, take your children to the other side of the street when he comes down the way. Spit on the ground in front of him. Don't let him have a moment's peace. No one need do any violence. No one need to do anything threatening. But he should not be able to run and hide from the consequences of his acts. His ruling. He may as well have been the individual pulling the trigger because he made it possible for the trigger to be pulled. I am so sick of this shit. Nobody's going to say this on the for-profit media because, well, that's just not nice. No, we're going to talk about how he wasn't a white man this time. I guess that means not all white men. And we'll have to do some serious both-siderism, won't we? Right? Because that's the mother's milk that the for-profit media sups upon. How could this malevolent ass have not reasonably foreseen the outcome of his decision? Andrew Hartman. Oh, well, he's got a lovely history, Andrew Hartman. Why, he got his bachelor's degree from the University of Michigan. Go Blue! And Georgetown University gave him a law degree. And then he was a partner in a law firm. And he was an adjunct professor and director of experiential education at the University of Colorado Law School. He was general counsel for Keene Incorporated. He was a partner at Cooley. And the firm of Reed Smith. He even wrote a book, The 6-Minute Marathon, A Guide to Life as a Lawyer. A Guide to Life as a Lawyer. Rule 1. Try not to get any of the members of your community mowed down while they're trying to get a vaccine for a goddamn pandemic. Maybe, I wonder if that's in the 6-Minute Marathon Rules for Life as a Lawyer. I apologize if this comes across as vicious. I think I apologize generally. I don't like talking the way I'm talking right now. And I'm, like I said, I'm sort of empathetically trying to put myself in the place of someone who made a decision that got 10 people killed for going to the grocery store. I don't think I could ever, I could never put that fucking black robe on again. I could never, I could never step onto the bench and stand in judgment, sit in judgment of other human beings, knowing full well that I was solely responsible, that I put the trigger, finger on the trigger of the gun that ended 10 lives. I couldn't do it. So I take it all back. Judge Hartman, live with yourself. Don't kill yourself. Don't take the easy way out. Live with yourself, Judge Hartman. Every second of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every decade, of whatever remains of your misbegotten existence. Live, Judge Hartman, live. Live and regret the coupling of your mother and father that ever led to your creation. Live, Judge Hartman, live. Own it. Every day of your life, Judge Hartman, go to the cemeteries. I'm sure all 10 won't be buried in the same place. You'll be kind of busy. I'm sure they'll let you have your judicial pension. I'm sure you're well off anyway. You had enough free time to write the 6-Minute Marathon, The Guide to Life as a Lawyer. Take all the time you need every day, Judge. Visit all 10 grave sites. Visit them all. And if they get around to horizontally crucifying the man who pulled the trigger, maybe they'll let you watch. And maybe you'll wonder what it would be like for it to be you there on the horizontal crucifix. Live, Judge. Live. Live long. Do not prosper. Live and weep. Live and grieve. Live and hear in your sleep the explosions of rounds propelling bullets down a barrel and into bodies. Live. Judge, live. I'm going to take a minute. Luckily, we have the Green News Report. I'm glad I am of it. I'll try to collect myself a little bit. I'm so sick of this shit.
Oh. It's Tuesday, March 23, 2021.
Torrential rainfall has led to widespread flooding across portions of New South Wales.
Catastrophic flooding, the latest disaster to pummel Australia. Climate-related disasters now produce the most refugees in the world. Plus,
so we're going to have to do equal parts looking to the future, but also taking care of what we've already got with an eye toward climate, with an eye toward equity, and with an eye toward all the jobs that we can create while also making it all safer.
Biden White House prepares massive infrastructure jobs bill.
All of those massive jobs and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
A recent study even estimated that an average person globally could be ingesting about a credit card's worth of plastic into their system every week. Which kind of explains Capital One's new slogan, "What's in your stomach?"
You are what you eat. Does that make sense?
No.
This is your Green News Report.
Apparently it's 1.5% cash back, a few thousand free airline miles, and a shitload of plastic.
Okay, Dizzy Doyen, drought, heat, wildfires. Is there anything that has not hit Australia over the past couple of years?
Asteroids?
Oh, well, be careful.
True. In Australia, nearly 20,000 people in New South Wales have been forced to evacuate the worst flooding in decades after relentless rain triggered flash floods in some of the same areas hit by record bushfires a year ago. Some areas saw five times their average monthly rainfall for the month of March. Five times in just 4 days. Then there's more rain in the forecast. The flash floods have swept entire homes off of their foundations. In a press conference on Monday, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian called it the worst flooding in 50 years, beyond most residents' experience, and highlighted the repetitive disasters hitting Australia.
So we can't underestimate the ferocity of the extreme weather conditions. We've gone from extreme drought, extreme bushfire, to now extreme flood. And we have to put that in context. And our first and foremost priority is to make sure people know they could be in danger and make sure they've got their plans ready.
Meanwhile, a new study has found that the pollution from last year's Australian bushfires injected huge amounts of smoke into the stratosphere, causing record atmospheric pollution over the southern hemisphere, according to a new study. The researchers calculated that smoke pollution was nearly three times higher than the monthly averages prior to the wildfires and similar to air pollution levels caused by a moderately large volcanic eruption. A different report has found that natural and climate-related disasters, not wars, now create the most refugees. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies reports that in just the last 6 months, over 12 million people around the world were pushed out of their homes. 80% of that 12 million were displaced due to natural and climate-related disasters. Asian and Pacific countries bore the brunt with 26 climate disasters last year, including three storms that hit the Philippines in a single month that drove a million people from their homes and left 3 million without basic needs.
I guess I would say that's shocking, except for the fact that I listened to the Green News Report. You have been warning about exactly this for many, many years now.
Here in the U.S., in a ruling with national implications, a bankruptcy judge has ruled that bankrupt coal company Black Jewel can walk away from at least 30 permits in four states under a liquidation agreement. The company must try to sell nearly 200 other mine sites, according to the agreement, but they can abandon those, too, if they find no buyers, leaving taxpayers to foot the cleanup bill.
So the taxpayers help subsidize these coal mines in the first place, and now the taxpayers get to clean up the mess when the coal companies walk away with all the profits, which they don't have because now they're bankrupt.
Correct.
The plan is sound.
Finally, AP reports that Biden White House aides have put together a $3 trillion infrastructure and jobs bill to revive the economy and create millions of jobs repairing and rebuilding the nation's crumbling infrastructure after decades of deferred maintenance. The package will focus on climate resilience and transitioning the nation to clean energy as part of Biden's Build Back Better campaign pledge. Democratic leaders have signaled they will probably use budget reconciliation to pass the bill if Republicans choose to block it. In a recent interview with MSNBC, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg made the economic case.
And I will say this about infrastructure investment. unlike what was promised in the past about things like tax cuts for the wealthy. When you make an investment in infrastructure, it really does pay for itself. It's got a return on the investment. And I do think that ought to be part of the math as we're thinking about the finances here.
Nah, let's just think about tax cuts and giving all the money to the rich people. But this is potentially very good news, this huge, what, $3 trillion infrastructure bill?
Yeah.
We have been waiting for this for a very long time. We'll see how much of it they can actually get through with a simple majority vote in the U.S. Senate. But I think a lot of the climate bill is going to be found in the infrastructure bill.
One hopes.
One hopes indeed. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
So build me up, build me up, buttercup. Don't break my heart. I'll be over at 10, it's only time and again, but you're late.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm okay. I'm not. Not even a little bit. Just so sick of this shit. But I think I think I don't know about you, but I would benefit from your thoughts on all of this. Oh, and by the way, Megan points out you forgot the best part about this shooting. I think Megan, I think Megan was struggling for words like I've been struggling for words. This one in Colorado, I didn't know this, took place just down the street from the spot where young Elijah McClain, who had told cops that he didn't want to be touched because he was on the spectrum or something, was walking home from a convenience store. Young violinist. And the cops blew him away. Murdered him in cold blood. As far as these morons unable to comprehend how their heinous legislation could have such horrific consequences, I'm really starting to call it the Thanos effect. It's from the Avengers movies, where Thanos thinks he's justified in ending half the known lives in the universe because it's suffering from overpopulation. He doesn't understand that, A, he doesn't get to make the decision for other people, and B, it was apparently all right for everyone else to sacrifice for the universe he deemed appropriate, so long as it wasn't him or his armies who were going to be doing the sacrificing. And C, could not, for the life of him, understand that he would not be greeted as a hero for doing this shit. I know I'm talking about a fictional character, but if there's one thing I've come to understand, it's that there's a deep intertwining of art and life. Thanos, Sauron, Lex Luthor. Villains is villains is villains. Meanwhile, back here, in my beloved West by Cole Jimjinyistan, the Republican supermajority legislature that we have, well, they're not gonna do something all liberal like what Boulder did, and no. An amendment to the state constitution, an amendment to the constitution of the state of West Virginia has been proposed. And it's been taken up by the Senate Judiciary Committee, this amendment. It would have to go on the ballot. And it would make illegal for the state of West Virginia, cities in the state of West Virginia, or counties in the state of West Virginia, to regulate in any... Wait a minute. Let me get my Jim Justice voice on. To regulate in any way, shape, form, or fashion any firearm based on, quote, ammunition capacity, caliber, modification, accessory, decibel, method of carry, or any other means. Those are Republicans in the state of West Virginia's legislature saying, we ain't going to ban no guns, no way, no way, no how. Ain't going to do it. Yeah. And, by the way, Ahmad Al-Alawi Alissa bought his AR-15 Freedom Protector. Thanks, Sparky. Less than a week before he went and slaughtered 10 human beings. Remember, the ban was struck down on March the 12th. And guess what? Only days after that, Ahmad Al-Alawi Alissa decided he just had to have him an AR-15. And of course, the usual stuff is being said about Ahmad Al-Alawi Alissa. That I think his brother said that he was a loner and had gotten really strange. But remember, the NRA and probably the Colorado Shooters Association doesn't like red flag laws either. Nope. So that would be the 16th. 12 minus 6 is 6. That would mean he bought his Freedom Protector on the 16th of March, with Judge Andrew Hartman having struck down the ban on the 12th. Man, that's beginning to look like a real causal link, isn't it? And of course, there was other there was another disgusting aspect to this, because of course the Colorado Shooters Association, they issued a statement after the slaughter, and they said, and you can already predict it, can't you? I know you can, because it's what these gun humpers always say. You ready for this? You might want to get the hockey puck. Because, it's liable to get you rather furious. The Colorado Shooters Association had the unmitigated gall to issue a statement after yesterday's slaughter.
There will be a time for the debate on gun laws. There will be a time for the discussion on motives. There will be a time for a conversation on how this could have been prevented. But today is not the time. Because it's never the time. It is never, ever, ever, ever the time to talk about the sick, fetishistic fascination, the need, the compulsion of weak, terrified, mostly white, mostly males. There's never a time to talk about their need to put their weakness, their fetish, their obsession ahead of the mere ability of somebody to go to the grocery store and live to tell the tale. Never. Well, I say that right now is exactly the time to do it. Exactly the time. Talk about it right now when the blood cries out from the linoleum floor of King Super in Boulder. Right now.
Like I said, I wonder if any of the I wonder if any of the innocent dead were carrying. Didn't do him any good, did it, if they were? Because he was on an ambush. And he had a weapon designed and suited for the slaughter of human beings in war. But that's freedom in America. That's freedom. They gotta have freedom. They ain't gonna have no freedom if they ain't got no AR-15. They gotta have freedom. Right? What's that, Ron and Raleigh? Wait a blue steel minute. Did the legislature of West Virginia just turn the state into a free fire zone asking for a trigger-happy friend? Well, I mean, I don't think it's fair to call it a free fire zone. It already is that. We got open carry, and you can take one. Irony. Over in the Crossroads Mall in Beckley, over where the Sears Anchor store used to exist, there's a place called Rural King. And back before the pandemic hit, it was like magnetism. You would be drawn into that store because every time the door opened, their popcorn machine that was constantly popping popcorn would waft out into the parking lot. And the next thing you're just being led along. Popcorn? There's popcorn somewhere? Really? Popcorn? And you walk in the door and they give you a free bag of popcorn. That doesn't happen anymore. But they sell guns and stuff. But the more important thing about that is that you know how when you go to PetSmart, you can bring your pet with you on a leash or whatever. You can walk White Fang, you know, through the store. And yeah. Well, it's like that in Rural King, only with guns. You can strap your blue steel freedom protector on, your blue steel penis extension, and you can march around through the store and carry it and fondle it and sort of pet it a little bit every now and then and see if it's hungry for any gun oil or needs some bullets changed or anything. Yep, right. But when you walk out the door into the mall, there's a sign there because it's Rural King. Say, nah, you can't bring your guns the rest of the way into the mall. Surprised that hasn't been challenged in court by some upset West Virginian who feels terribly, terribly put upon. No, the it's not exactly a free fire zone. It's just like it's a carry 'em if you got 'em. As Lee in New York pointed out, tanks a lot, West Virginia legislature. Not a typo. Did the West Virginia legislature that people can own tanks? Well, anything you can own. Ain't no city nor county going to pass no anti-West Virginia freedom lover going to not have a tank or a shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile or a bazooka. I think if these asshole Republicans had their way, they would try to supersede the federal law that says you can't have no fully automatic machine gun. That's my right as a American. I need a fully automatic machine gun. You ever seen how fast a deer can run? Because this is all about hunting, right? Yeah. This looks interesting. Brother Deacon Asa says, here's something that'll blow your mind and probably lead the QAnon vermin to jump on this right quick. Ahmad al-Alawi Alissa's last name in Arabic is in fact written and pronounced as Al-Essa, which literally means Jesus or the Jesus. Wait a minute. Damn it. No fair bringing up potential Big Lebowski references in the middle of a conversation this grave. Don't fuck with the Jesus. And so you know, Brother Deacon Asa says, in no way, shape, form, or fashion am I making this up. So I'm waiting for the cucumbers to start screeching the second coming any minute now. See? Jesus likes and uses AR-15s. That just hurts.
coming to an 8chan server near you.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, while the Colorado State Shooters Association was eager to make sure that we all understood, all goddamn liberals, that we don't need to be talking about their precious fetish totemic objects, and the fact that they care more about them than they do the lives of their fellow Americans. Well, the other side, on the other hand, is busy exploiting this. Just as, and we talked about the assholes who voted against the Congressional Gold Medal for the Capitol Police, because it's not fair to call it an insurrection. Those little bastards turned around and fundraised on it, because of course they did. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I did notice in Rural King, there ain't a bullet to be found, not a bullet to be bought. No pistol ammunition at all. You know why? Because it's the same phenomenon we saw with the inauguration of Barack Obama. The networks of grunters and hooters and barkers, larpers and smolikers. Better run out and get your ammunition now, because Joe Biden's going to take away your guns. Mm-hmm. Then there's Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley. She didn't waste any time. Sort of. It started out with her yakking about this slaughter in Boulder. She said, "My prayers." Now, this is a woman who posed with firearms on a shelf behind her to try to intimidate the members, the other members of Congress. "My prayers are with the shoppers, employees, first responders, and others affected by the shooting in Boulder. May God be with them. While we're still awaiting important information and details in this case, random public shootings and senseless acts of violence are never okay." The goddess of irony owns Clanny Oakley. Because when she said random public shootings and senseless acts of violence are never okay. So, non-random public shootings, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert's down with that. Well-planned, sensible acts of violence, she's okay with that. And then this, of course. "Joe Biden has wasted no time politicizing the attack in Boulder yesterday by calling for an assault weapons ban and other infringements on our Second Amendment." God damn it, lady. Nothing would please me more than if we could get rid of the Second Amendment altogether, and maybe somebody would come to take yours away from you. And then you could do that whole cold dead fingers thing with them. Because she's probably stupid enough to do that. There are some people out there who have proven that they do not need to be even in the same fucking zip code with a firearm, and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, is damned well one of them. Yeah. Oh, as we come up on the halfway point of the program, I should point out and say thank you to an anonymous friend, as well as Charlene from Rogues Island, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans. Our anonymous friend and Charlene jumped in and took us down to $100 to go on Paul from Parts Unknown's Sick of This Shit challenge. Then Jeremy stepped in, took us down to $75 to go, and said, "I'm so sick of this shit as well. Let's beat this channel and channel our anger on a positive way, Horn family." Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. Sick of this shit. Paul from Parts Unknown, I don't know how he tapped into the zeitgeist of the moment, but he sure did. So there's $75 to go on that challenge, and after that, $140 more to bring us even here at the 23rd day of March 2021, and I'll do some prodigious bill paying if we can. Thank you, Jeremy. $75 to go. Thank you.
The House of Representatives, nationally, not talking about the idiotic legislature of the state of West Virginia or anything. No, the United States House of Representatives passed a background check bill. Something supported broadly by a majority of the citizens of the United States. And that would make all gun sales subject to a background check. All of them. One of the bills that passed this month extends the window for completing a background check before a gun sale. A second one extends background checks to all sales and transfers, including, gun shows, the gun show loophole, all of that. Joe Manchin, the current reigning queen of the Senate, said, "I come from a gun culture. I'm a law-abiding gun owner." See, that's the problem. Mr. Alyssa was a law-abiding gun owner, too. He was a lawful gun owner up until the moment he first pulled the trigger. And then he went from a lawful gun owner to an awful gun owner at about 2,000 feet per second muzzle velocity. "I come from a gun culture. I'm a law-abiding gun owner." Basically saying that commercial transactions should be background checked. You don't know a person. If I know a person, no, I don't support background checks. I mean, if people know each other, you know a homicidal maniac. The homicidal maniac wants to do an arm's length gun sale from you, and you look at it. Oh, okay, sure. I can use the money here. Here, let me sell you my AR-15. Yeah. Of course, even though Chuck Schumer has said there will be a vote on this bill, it still requires 60 votes to pass because, the minority is still running this country. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve. Brother Bishop Steve in Georgia Stan for passing that along. Just another reminder of how horrible it is when a wealthy coal broker who bows and scrapes before the ignorante gets to control the entire government of the United States. "House bills are going to come over no matter what," Manchin said. "We're going to try to do the responsible, reasonable thing." In other words, we're going to try to make sure that the gun industry doesn't have a sad. Yeah. Thanks, Brother Bishop Steve and Miss Karen, Little Cletus. We're now down to $65 to go on the So Sick of This Shit challenge. Thank you. Gun background check. Lee in New York says, "Is there any bill to modernize and improve the speed and accuracy of the system that was working in the Stone Age?" I don't know. Lee adds, Lauren Bobblehead Bobert, "Her background of firearms shows no respect for guns. It was a display, not guns in storage. She loves the image but has no understanding of safety, but I say the obvious." Yeah, I mean, even the responsible gun owners saw her background there. It's like, that ain't exactly the way you. That's not how you store your guns if you want your guns to be useful to you. But never accuse a Republican of letting a good tragedy go to waste. There were hearings taking place in the Senate of the United States today. And so, in the hearing, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the united, anointed, booger-eaten future king of America, decided to unlimber himself of some serious bullshit. Yeah. Oh, he was terribly excited. It upset and wrought and what have you. And yeah. First, though, why don't we take a moment to listen to a sane person? Yeah. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, who has lived every day with the horror of knowing what happened to a bunch of little first graders at Sandy Hook Elementary, and lives every day knowing that not a goddamn thing has been done about it. Senator Blumenthal.
America awoke today to another nightmare, stunning, shocking, savage, but unsurprising. Inaction has made this horror completely predictable. Inaction by this Congress makes us complicit. Now is the time for action, to honor these victims with action, real action, not the fig leaves or the shadows that have been offered on the other side, along with hopes and thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers cannot save the 8 victims in Atlanta or the 10 last night, including a brave police officer. Thoughts and prayers can't save the 24,000 people killed every year or the 26 blacks killed every day, the 8 children killed as a result of unsecured weapons every day. Thoughts and prayers are not enough. And yet, thoughts and prayers is all we have heard from my colleagues on the other side. Thoughts and prayers must lead to action.
Faith without works is dead, y'all. That's Book of James. Well, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was having none of it. Oh, he got upset.
We've had far too many tragedies in our country. Once again, we wake up to a horrific act of mass murder. All of us lift up in prayer the families in Boulder, Colorado.
Blow me.
Families in Atlanta that lost their lives, including a police officer
more.
In Boulder, Colorado. I can tell you in Texas, we've seen far too many of these. I was in Santa Fe the morning of that shooting. Santa Fe High School is less than an hour from my house. I was in El Paso at the Walmart for yet another senseless mass murder.
By a Trump supporter.
I was in Dallas where 5 police officers were murdered by a radical.
Oh, that was a radical.
I was in Sutherland Springs in that beautiful sanctuary where a monster murdered innocent people. I've been to too damn many of these.
Oh, I wouldn't cuss, Rafaelito. Jesus doesn't like that.
Senator from Connecticut just said, it's time for us to do something. I agree. It is time for us to do something. And every time there's a shooting, we play this ridiculous theater where this committee gets together and proposes a bunch of laws that would do nothing to stop these murders.
Oh, I wonder why that is. Because Republicans won't let those laws get through. Theater. Is this, in fact, I mean, Josh Hawley gave him a good run for his money back around January 6th, but is this, in fact, the most odious human being to occupy a Senate seat in a generation? I'd say yes. Theater. Bled out bodies laying on a grocery store floor is theater to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. Fuck him. Fuck him. Theater. Is it any wonder that he left freezing Texans to freeze and ran off to Cancun?
doesn't give a fuck. He's got his. He's safe. He knows he's okay.
Senator from Connecticut just said the folks on the other side of the aisle have no solutions. Well, the senator from Connecticut knows that is false. And he...
No, I don't think he does know that. And I don't think it's okay for him to call out the senator from Connecticut according to the rules either, but, well, rules don't apply to Republicans.
He knows that's false because Senator Grassley and I together introduced legislation, Grassley-Cruz, targeted at violent criminals, targeted at felons, targeted at fugitives, targeted at those...
Were they targeted at guys who bought a goddamned AR-15 4 days after a judge struck down a law that banned them? Who was, in fact, a lawful gun owner, Raffaelito? No. Targeting felons. Bad guys. But that's the problem with mass murders. They're good guys until they aren't anymore.
With serious mental disease.
Oh, it's mental illness. Yeah, even though there's not a shred of evidence that people who suffer from mental illness are any more violent as a function of general population than people not suffering from mental illness. Oh, no, it's about crazy.
To stop them from getting firearms, to put them in prison when they try to illegally buy guns. What happens in this committee after every mass shooting is Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens.
Because law-abiding citizens commit these fucking massacres. How hard is that to comprehend? Honest. They are law-abiding citizens all the way up to the moment. I mean, you're a law-abiding citizen. Or at least can claim to be one. While the trigger is still traveling, it's only when it reaches the break point and the striker pin hits the primer and sends the creates the explosion that sends the bullet hurtling down the rifled barrel. That is when the But they were law-abiding all the way up to that moment. Ahmed Ali Alawissa, Ahmed Ali Aliwi Alissa, gonna have to work on that. Was absolutely law abiding. Because a district court judge in Boulder had said he was. That he would be law-abiding just by possessing that AR-15 and that magazine that carried more than 10 rounds. He was absolutely law-abiding. He had done not a damned thing different. He had done not a damned thing illegal. He was just another upstanding gun owner. He filled out the FBI forms. He filled out the ATF forms. He put the money across the table, and they said, here's your gun. We'll eventually find out where he got it. It's not going to be any surprise. No.
Because that's their political objective. But what they propose, not only does it not reduce crime, it makes it worse.
You know what? The law that would have prevented him from purchasing or possessing an AR-15 inside the city limits of Boulder would have kept 10 human beings alive. These laws do work. Stop signs work. They absolutely work. And if somebody runs a stop sign, we tell cops to give them a ticket. Because you're not allowed to run stop signs. the fact that someone does run a stop sign and doesn't get caught doesn't mean that stop signs don't work. Ted Cruz is a fucking arsonist bemoaning all the arsons. But he does not have the blood as directly on his hands as, say, Judge Hartman does. But that blood drips downhill onto scum like Ted Cruz. Sure it does.
The jurisdictions in this country with the strictest gun control have among the highest rates of crime and murder. When you disarm law-abiding citizens, you make them more likely to be victims.
Yeah, sure. And those jurisdictions he's talking about are right next to jurisdictions where you can buy, where you can practically buy a goddamn gun in a bubblegum machine. Jurisdictions where you can buy a gun and kill somebody with it on the same day, but a woman can't take care of her own reproductive needs in that same 24-hour period. Or a person can't register to vote and cast a vote in that same 24-hour period. Fuck you, Ted Cruz. Sparky points out that the shooter in Boulder didn't live in Boulder. They lived 20 miles away. Nonetheless, had the law been in effect, it would have been illegal for him to possess that rifle in Boulder. He would have been arrestable upon sight. But law enforcement was stood down because of Judge Hartman's ruling. Oh, Ted was full of righteous fury. Goodness gracious sakes alive. And he doesn't like anybody telling him that prayer thought that the tots and pears don't work.
I agree it's a time for actions. And by the way, I don't apologize for thoughts or prayers. I will lift up in prayer people who are hurting. And I believe in the power of prayer. And the contempt of Democrats for prayers is an odd sociological.
Oh, suck me. Sorry. Getting a little gross this evening. I apologize. The contempt of Democrats for prayer. No! It's the fact that you put no actions with your prayers, you hypocritical jackass! Tots and prayers, tots and pears, tots and pears. They can't feel those prayers. And praying for somebody after they're dead. Now, this guy's a fucking evangelical, okay? And I know my evangelical Christianity because I was dipped by the goddamned heel in it. Praying for dead people, according to outfits like the Southern Baptist Church, is something that papists do. The dead are dead. The dead are facing their judgment. You can't pray for the dead. They were either saved or they're not, and if they weren't, they're off to the big barbecue down under, and I don't mean Australia. Praying for the dead. That's just further evidence of his hypocrisy. He's talking about shit that he doesn't even believe, thereby providing further evidence of what a monumental, well, others can say it so much better than me.
You dick!
Precisely. Darlene in Connecticut says, God, Cancun Cruz oozes phoniness. So goddamn fake. He's not believable at all. He cannot be taken seriously. You mentioned theater. He's the crappiest actor I've ever seen. This is the only transparency you'll ever get with him, that he's so fake and phony and gross you can see right through him. My senator later called out his and Grassley's bullshit bill. It's riddled, oops, sorry, full of bullet, oops, sorry, loopholes to let the gun goobers off. By the way, did we ever see the Republican health care bill? Nope. They're all gun smoke, oops, and mirrors. In the words of Howard Stern, geez, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Yeah. I don't know quite how one would go about doing this. But the next time there's a mass shooting in Texas, bind up the wounds of one of the dead. And wait till Ted comes down to offer his prayers. And carry that stiffening body and hand the body to Ted Cruz. Unbind the wounds and let the blood flow over him and say, pray about it, Ted. Pray about it. Come on. Pray about it. Show us the power of prayer, Ted. When will it change? Matt in San Francisco asks. I know this is going to sound terrible, and I really don't mean it to be outrageous, but I really think the key thing that would bring about stricter gun laws would be a bunch of armed people with darker pigment breaking into the Capitol and murdering half the Congress and Senate. They seem to only act when it happens to them. Oh, that's precisely my point. God forbid, and I know you don't mean it, and I don't mean it, but it's an extrapolation from the Panthers standing on the steps of the California State House, and all of a sudden California had some gun control because black people with guns. And remember, Senator Ron Johnson, well, I wasn't afraid of those people on January 6th because I know they love America. Even though they brought a gallows and erected it on the Capitol grounds to hang a Republican vice president. We'll hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree. We'll hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree. They used to sing that about Abraham Lincoln back during the Civil War. Yeah. They don't understand because they're sociopaths. They have no human ability to comprehend the pain of others because there is nothing in this world save for themselves. Even if you took that bleeding body and put it in the arms of Ted Cruz, it wouldn't matter. He doesn't care. He's deeply intellectually damaged. And sadly, Matt, no amount of violence is going to change them. They watched insurrectionists come for their own colleagues. And people like Ted Cruz said, I wonder if any of them have a banana blade. Some people call it a sling blade. I call it a banana blade. I sure do like them fried potatoes. Lee in New York says, I'm sure Cancun Cruz prayed to not be recognized on that airplane flight. Rafaelito, are you sure prayers work? He takes prayer no more seriously than I do, and quite possibly less. Regarding Ted Cruz as a fake, Brother Deacon Asa says, one could say that Ted Cruz is faker than Donald Trump's 80 million Twitter followers back when he had them. Arp. Fake as fuck. Aren't they just lovely? No, they're not. But now, having passed the halfway mark of the program, and with $65 to go on the So Sick of This Shit challenge, well, the least thing we can do
is say their names. These people who died because Judge Hartman was more concerned about gun rights than human rights. Denny Strong was 20 years old. Nevin Stanisic was 23. Ricky Olds was 25. Trelona Bartkowiak was 49. Suzanne Fountain was 59. Terry Leiker was 51. Eric Talley was 51. Kevin Mahoney was 61. Lynn Murray was 62. And Jody Waters was 65. And a global pandemic couldn't take them down. But one man, with a weapon of war, could and did. Stand by. I'm waiting for the stress line to connect. And of course, every story points out we don't yet know Ahmad al-Alawi Alissa's motive. Of that number, Eric Talley, who was 51 years old, was an older police officer. And he left behind 7 children because to the Republican Party, the access of paranoids to firearms is more important than the ability of a 51-year-old daddy to go home to his children. Because they're the party of life, y'all! God is love, y'all. Prayers! Let's go over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy Day of Reason, Robin.
Hey, Dave, how are you, my friend?
It's David McGuire.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm holding up. I called one because Raphael is just pissing me off. And I wanted to thank all the members of the Horn Community Congregation that wrote to you with good wishes for Christine and I. That touches me so deeply. I want to express my gratitude. But I am so tired of death all around me because of this, on healthcare, on guns, on everything else, on the backs of people I love. Fuck him. I am just so angry right now. I don't know what to say, Robin. And you know me, I usually am hopping up and down in my wheelchair, but not at this point. I'm no. out of the chair, and well, if the, he I mean, wants to argue, I'll...
Go.
Oh, go ahead.
No, no, please, continue. I didn't mean to cut short.
If he wants to argue, I'll be more than happy to argue with him. Please. He forgot to stop being a Canadian citizen while he was running for president until somebody pointed it out that he couldn't be a Canadian citizen and president of the United States at the same time. But then again, he's following in his father's tradition of forgetting to become a citizen for a really long time. This guy is just a disease. And voting is the only cure as long as we can. We need to turn out more than we turned out in this last election, in this last presidential election, to show them that this crap isn't going to stand.
And not only that, Dave, we have to turn out that way to give our country a fighting chance to live. And we have to show these gun fetishists, these poor, pathetic, insecure, shit in their pants, terrified people, that we aren't afraid. They are, but we aren't. We don't have to live in a country where people get ambushed standing in line for a vaccine. We live in a country like that because we are forced to live in a country like that by people like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz.
Wayne LaPeter.
Lauren Bobblehead Boobert.
I don't understand how any, I'm answering my own question, how any rational, sane person can vote for this son of a bitch. I mean, oh, I believe in God. Well, his definition of God and the one I was raised with, and I'm sure the one you were raised with, is slightly different.
Look, I mean, I don't mean to turn this into Wednesday or anything, Dave, but my God, how do you blow through the entire, every one of the Gospels and miss that whole thing about him who lives by the sword shall die by the sword? How do you miss that? But they miss a lot. The only parts they don't miss are the parts like.
Oh, you mean the prosperity versions of the Gospels.
Or the thumpable Gospels.
You know, I was a religious studies minor in college because the subject actually interests me.
Me too.
And
I had a bunch of it too.
There are some 3,200 variations of Christianity. 3,200.
And you got to pick the right one.
Yeah. Welcome to the Jesus Roulette Lottery. You spin the wheel and you might be right.
But if you get one out of 3,200, yeah. Dave, you're still up against all the other world religions. And
well, that's
there's
true.
Thousands of them.
True.
All equally and convinced, you know, of what? How right they are.
And in Hinduism, there are 3 million gods, at least.
Yeah, but at least they don't punish you for picking the wrong one. Just do right by the one you choose.
Right. But how in the world, I mean, I would feel a lot more comfortable in the situation Christine is in if fundamentalist religious types, and I'm not just picking on Christians here, would just shut the hell up and let science and medicine do what they do. Because we need that. You know, when Paul from Parts Unknown wrote in and said, stay away 15 feet from people at least, I've been trying that. I mean, other than when I go to the store, I don't leave the house. You know, I take the isolate or shelter in place seriously. I just don't want to wake up from a scene from I Am Legend one day. You know.
Yeah. Let's not encourage people to watch that film, Dave. Or Omega Man, its previous incarnation.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've never actually seen the film, but I know about it just from reviews. I just, and Shatner turned 91 yesterday.
No, 90. Former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson. No, former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson turned 91.
Shatner turned 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They're both people I would probably find loathsome and odious at a dinner table.
Well, I think one's more odious and loathsome than the other, but let's not quibble.
Bad tables are bad table manners.
Well, Robin. True, yeah, true, true, true.
You know, if offending your host is an art form, then, you know, the former liquor supply salesman probably wins that contest, hands down. But I'm wondering what it's going to take to get Democrats and progressives in general to keep the pressure on these people. I mean, I remember the fight for the ADA when people in wheelchairs were getting arrested in the Capitol and in the Senate office buildings because they were protesting the abolishment of the ADA, and it worked.
Yeah.
You know, so protest does work. Creative protest even works even better because it leaves them sticky, broken, confused for about 10 minutes. I mean, I think what the organizations like the Lincoln Project do are brilliant.
Yeah, but except for the awful part of the Lincoln Project, which is substantial.
Yeah. Well, they've had lots of practice at, stabbing people because, after all, they used to work for the Republicans.
Right.
And will, at the first opportunity, I'm sure, return to them. But I agree with you on prosecuting the insurrectionists. That needs to happen. Yes, it's going to take months, if not a year, to lock those cases down. Primarily because of what the previous Justice Department did. I mean, in any other time in history, you would have had a Justice Department that would have been flying up several asses with several microscopes to figure out what charges to make, who to charge, and all of that. And that takes time. It's not like some cop show that's over in an hour. And that's the way the Republicans are treating it. Oh, well, it's been over an hour, so we've got to leave now. I hope Attorney General Garland takes his time and puts the right people in place to get this investigation done.
And until then, we just kind of have to be patient.
And isn't one of my virtues.
Nor mine. But if we can be, we've got a hope of, yeah, there's that magic word again, a hope that they will follow this thing from the bottom to the top.
Well, wasn't he the lead prosecutor in the Oklahoma City bombing?
Something makes me think yes. I know he had some hand in it.
Organize that. Right, so I'm hoping, hope, that he puts that kind of skill into this. I mean, the Oklahoma City bombing case took over a year before they brought that to trial. Or before, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, and you would have had the thought that Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols weren't the only two involved in that.
No.
It boggles the mind that something like that would happen with just two people. But, you know, you make deals and trade-offs to get to the people who actually did things. It's like your analogy of the, you know, the person caught with an 8-ball of cocaine and they get leaned on and everything else. But that takes time. I just hope we don't go to sleep trying to, well, it's all done now. No. Now, I have a feeling with the number of people there, this thing could be going on for years.
Well, that's why I said that we needed a special prosecutor for it, a special counsel, whose only job is to take as many lawyers as necessary and run them through the system.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, it seemed to make sense.
But getting a special counsel resolution through the Congress would be
there's no resolution. It's simply an act of the Attorney General.
Well, then maybe Merrick Garland will look at it and say, you know what, this is needed. So that's your job. Here's 50 prosecutors and 200 investigators. Have fun. That may happen. That kind of thing happened with a lot of different things. I mean, if they went after these guys the way the FBI went after anti-war protesters,
yeah,
in the 60s.
Right. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, Dave. And bear with me. Maybe we don't need a special prosecutor for all of this. Maybe the Justice Department can handle the common garden variety assholes on the ground in the Capitol. But maybe, and
the ones who got charged.
Maybe we need a special counsel specifically to look at the people who made it happen, the people who encouraged it. Maybe that's where we need a special counsel. To look at the Mike Lees and
the Republican Attorney General.
To look at the Mike Lees and the Ted Cruz's and the Josh Hawleys. And the Lauren Boberts and the Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumbers.
Oh, don't forget the Republican Attorney General's Association. I mean, they put money toward that.
What about my Attorney General, pill pushing Patty Morrissey? What about Ken Paxton in Texas? That little fucker's already under indictment.
Well, you know, in Texas, it's sort of like their neighbor, Louisiana. If a politician isn't indicted, he's not doing his job the way they look at it down
there.
Yeah,
he ain't trying.
I once heard Louisiana described as, if a state had to go into a confessional, you would hope that Louisiana would be the priest on the other end of the other side of the screen. So, but and that's the way it's been down there forever, since well before I was born. You know, and you're not going to change it, but you can fight the worst of it. And that's what we've got to do. I've said before, it's a holding action. Because they're relentless. They're already fundraising. I'm sure Ted Cruz is fundraising on the atheist Democrats who hate prayer and thoughts. And I've always felt that thoughts and prayers is kind of a contradiction in terms.
Well, it's a cop out.
Either you think about something or you pray about something, but you can't do both at the same time. And you're right, it is a cop out. It makes people think that you care. And I mean, most people will be like,
and again, that's right. And again, Dave, you know, it comes straight out of the Gospels. You know, do not be like the Pharisees who pray loudly in the streets. They have their reward.
That's right.
And I think what he meant by that is that those people have people who say, oh, well, look how pious and upstanding so-and-so is. I mean, they pray loudly in the streets. Oh, they must be a good one. Yeah.
What does the Gospel say? It says that they've already received their reward.
Yeah.
You know. And that kind of thinking, you know, or when a politician like my senior senator doesn't call himself a Republican but calls himself a conservative Christian, well, I could care less about your religious beliefs. Tell me what your policies are. But then again,
well, I don't want to hear about anybody's conservative Christianity because, frankly, conservative Christianity it's a heresy. There's nothing conservative about Christianity. There might be conservatism within religion itself, but the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life, not a damn conservative thing about it.
No. His concern for the poor.
Well, you know, you may have heard Raphaelito, you know, when a radical killed five cops in the Savior, he was a radical. You know, there's a great song out there by Jackson Brown called The Rebel Jesus. Because he was.
I'm going to have to look that one up. I love Jackson Brown's work.
It's a beauty. Well, not to delve too deeply, Dave, but I had your note at the beginning of the program. Have you had any more news on Christine? Or is this just the wait and see
phase?
Well,
like I said,
the 72 hours.
Like I said, well, the reason I say it's good news is that the doctors have told my sister-in-law that Christine's on track. She's right where they expect her to be. And so that is, I know, having lived around and worked around doctors all of my life, that's the nice speak. That's the calm the family member down speak. But that's hopeful. If she's on track and they're not having any real concerns, they're not rushing to chemically waken her or try to, that's a good sign. They're not saying, well, you know, we don't have any. The 72 hours is when they'll find out if what her brain activity or what damage there is. Because by and large, when you're out for 11 minutes and you're being revived, that can be a ticklish situation. So I hope that it all works out, but I am preparing for the worst.
Oh, God, Dave.
And like I said, all the people that have written you wishing Christine well, and me well, thank you. And I just have to put it out into the universe since I can't tell her directly. I did say to her when I was doing that. I said, Robin and the gang at the horn, all of you, Christine. Come on.
Thank you, Dave. It's true.
I tell you what. If the minute I get any news, I will email you, Robin.
Please do, Dave.
That way you can let everybody know. I've been on the phone almost constantly all day. I was surprised I was able to write to you, frankly. But I will make it a point to let you and the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation know what's going on. And I know we clown around about it being a family community congregation, but right now that's
when you
what
get
I'm
down to when you get down to ground level, it's absolutely true.
And you know, if you can support the Horn financially, please do. And if your support is merely writing to Robin or calling in and expanding the conversation, please do it. Robin only bites on days that end with Y. So
that's not helpful.
Okay, but it's not a terrible bite. I mean, after all, you are going in to get your teeth.
Yeah, it is. Right now, it's more of a gum. It's more of a gnaw.
Okay. So if you write in or call in, then Robin will just gum the situation and don't further notice.
suddenly, you're a bit, even in the midst of crisis and grief and sadness, your ability to not help comes shining through, Dave.
Well, you know, I have an old radio hand like Scott from San Diego, who has been my Jedi master on that.
Oh, dear God. Scott has followers. Heaven help us all. We're so screwed. We're all screwed, Dave.
Well, to add a point, when I was in high school, my freshman English teacher also taught the radio and television class. And I had considered working in radio at one point as an engineer, but I took one look at their board and she said, David, with your dexterity, it probably wouldn't be a good idea. So I just enjoy listening to you and Scott, especially when you're going on about your experience in the studio. But no,
last night with the great Strawberry Quick controversy, I mean, that's professional radio.
You know, I've never had Strawberry Quick. I'm going to have to weigh in on this the next time I go to the grocery store.
Oh, you will be. You'll be taking one for the team, Dave. I'd just go to Kroger's and hold out for the I'd hold out for the Promised Land orange stuff. I think that's got more hope.
Now that sounds good. I mean, that did sound good because I'm a big. When I was in nursery school, they used to give us push-ups. You know, the little
sure. Those things. There was never enough push-up in the push-up.
And you'd lick the little plungers that would come out of the tube because you wanted to get every the whole thing. And
I saw a few years ago they came out with came out with grape ones and it just didn't.
The orange ones are real push-ups. The rest, they're just, you know, those are for harried parents and babysitters who, here, kid. You know.
Oh, wait. We've got it. Okay, we've got a clarification, Dave. You'll appreciate this coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. It's not professional radio, Robin. It's just the most adequate radio as voted in West Virginia. Yes, absolutely. adequate.
Well, and adequate is what you're shooting for, according to Dan Fisher, isn't it?
Every day, yes, every day. My goal is adequacy.
Well, to help Robin be adequate, write in and call. Okay, I love when brand new callers come in.
I do too. That's always fun.
That makes my day. Anyway, Robin, I'll talk to you later.
All right, Dave. Take care, please. Low, so. Yeah, please, please, please. Be as well as you can be. And
I will.
Take what solace you can.
And take care of myself.
Absolutely, and know that everybody, you know, maybe some people are praying, Dave. I don't know,
Hey, and you know what? I don't mind that. I mean, I personally am an atheist, but I don't mind if somebody wants to pray for us. That's fine.
Yeah,
I appreciate that because I know that the people, especially here in the Horn, will put some thoughts into their prayers as to what they should pray for.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no objection to that.
Well, Dave, you take care of yourself, you hear?
All right, Robin. I will. Goodbye, Robin.
Have as peaceful an evening as you can, my friend. Take care. Later.
It'll be much more peaceful now that I've talked to you.
Well, All right. Thank you.
I'll talk
thank
to you later.
Bye now. Our buddy Dave, calling from Talibandiana, Indiana. That's a lot of grace to manifest in the midst of what he's dealing with, what Christine's dealing with. And Dave, it's Shorty in L.A. Holy crap, Dave, I just heard about Christine. One, wow, Shorty says, I was left in the body bag. Somebody said, let's wait and see 20 more minutes, and I'm voice texting right now. Number two, then again, they revived my heart four times in my life, and still in the show. Number three, the last time, Dave, my brain and me lost consciousness for about 14 minutes. I stutter more now, a lot more than I used to. And five, that's the main thing that I find out. Everybody's different, but never give up and never give in, because giving in, well, giving in is permanent. Thank you. Thank you, Shorty, so much. Oh, dear. Brother Deacon Asa, you started something with your strawberry. I didn't start this. Scott started this. I own my mistakes. You started something with your strawberry quick kerfuffle. While I'm not a big fan of milk, I am going to pick up a quart of the stuff just to spite you. It reminds me of my childhood, Robin. Did you have a spiteful childhood, Asa? God. Oh, and this is how we get through the madness. Yeah. And thanks to all of you. By the way, Matt in San Francisco pointed out that special prosecutor looking at the top end of who should be looking at the top end of the insurrection. Matt says, yeah, and look at Roger Stone. Because remember, there was a story a couple of days ago that there were calls coming from a member of the Proud Boys into the White House, and the call was taken. And previously, Enrique Tarrio, the head of the Proud Boys, who it turned out was a federal stoolie, a snitch, previously they had found out he was yakking with Roger Stone, but in the case of this call that went into the White House on the day of the insurrection, or the day before, maybe, they did say, no, that wasn't Roger Stone. No, so there's more than one treasonous little, well, it was a nest. It was a nest of treason and insurrection in that White House. Curiously, because I shared a few of them with you over the last few weeks, there is nothing coming out of Morris Lizzo. Nothing about this butchery in Boulder. No. Last thing we heard from 45 office was 45th President Donald J. Trump will be interviewed by Greg Kelly on Newsmax at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and that was yesterday. Since then, nothing. Because, well, why would he care? He's got to be careful talking about the slaughters because the maggots love their guns more than they love other people's lives. And the information is beginning to come out about the killer. Said to have a furious temper, said to have been paranoid as hell all the way back into high school. Apparently somebody took the gun away from him within the 6 days before he created the slaughter in Boulder. But they gave it back. Yeah. I don't often play music on this program, but this evening seems like an appropriate one for it. Let's take a few minutes and let the drive-by truckers have a word. Because this is a word perfect to the occasion.
and they ask me to explain. It hurts me that I have to look away. The powers that be are in for shame and comeuppance. Generation locked down as their day. They'll throw the bums all out to drain the swamp for real. Perp walk them down the Capitol steps, show them how it feels. Tramp the dirt down Jesus, you can't pray the rod they'll spare. Stick it up your ass with your useless thoughts and prayers. Stick it up your ass with your useless thoughts and prayers.
Haven't played that in a long time. Thoughts and Prayers, the Drive-By Truckers, the inimitable voice and words of Patterson Hood. So we got about 28 minutes left to go in the program. What did I say? $55 to go in the sick of this shit challenge. I hope we don't leave that laying on the table. And I gotta admit, I'm sort of stunned with all of this. I mean, not stunned that it happened. Dear God, no. If there's anything, there's no reason to be surprised by any of this. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asa says, we need to pull that quote and use it as a drop. Stick it up your ass with your useless thoughts and prayers. Wouldn't it have been nice if somebody in that Senate hearing room could have just pushed the button as soon as Robert E. Lee, I'll never apologize for praying. Nobody told you to apologize for praying, Ted. It's just that we all know you're a sickening hypocrite and that your prayers are as sincere as your concern for freezing Texans was, you know, yeah. Oh, on what would a discussion of a gun fueled massacre be if we didn't have a little something something from Marjorie Traitor Green Q-tip? Yeah. We get accused of exploiting a massacre when all we're doing is pointing out the fact that we don't have to have massacres. But on the other hand, running over to Twitter, and why does she still have a Twitter account? That's a good question. Marjorie Traitor Green Cucumber says,
Colorado has everything.
I'm sure she says Colorado.
Colorado has everything the left has asked for. Universal background checks, red flag gun seizure laws, high-capacity magazine bans, a passing gun control grade from Gifford's Courage, and it still didn't stop a thug like Ahmaud Alyssa from murdering Americans.
So because his name's Ahmaud, he's a thug? I wonder if she described the kid from Georgia, young, misguided Robert Allen Long, who had a very bad day that made him just murder 8 people in the Atlanta area. I wonder if she called him a thug. Anybody want to go back through a timeline and find out?
from murdering Americans.
Yeah.
Americans.
Well, I wonder how she's so sure that, never mind. Stupid freak. Gun-humping twit. They pose with their AR-15s because that sells among the paranoids and the freaks. And of course, she was lying through her teeth. No, Colorado does not have all of those things. Obviously, he walked in the door and bought his firearm without a problem. And no, it's not like he bought it from a fence in Denver. Ted, subject line, Matt in San Francisco, said if Ted's prayers worked, his nose wouldn't look like a dick on his face. Whoa, we haven't had a cowbell tonight. By God, we needed one, too. He's got a needle nose and a needle dick, I guess. Thank you for that, Matt. If Ted's prayers worked, his nose wouldn't look like a dick on his face. That's quality. In our thoughts and prayers, Jude says, has me visualizing how it would be for those who use this disconnected phrase, as no way can their hands be folded in supplication while holding all those guns. It makes it impossible. Words are lifeless unless engaged in the true mantra of sincere caring. Yeah, because I think Republican thoughts and prayers are meaningless unless they are accompanied by cries of contrition, conviction, and remorse. I, at least I'm pretty sure that's how the theology works. Oh, and this is off topic, but at this point in time, I think we need to get off topic. We have a Moscow Mitch moment. Mm-hmm. With pressure growing on the chinless wonder, the most horrible thing ever to come out of Sheffield, Alabama, with pressure growing on him regarding the filibuster and him knowing that this is the only way he can continue to rule over the rest of us by virtue of the will of a million or so the vicious Kentuckians. Chinless Moscow Mitch decided to deliver a little history lesson.
You argue the filibuster is not rooted in racism. Historians differ on this. Are you concerned about the perception? If it is used against advancing voting rights, certainly the public perception is that Republicans are going to use this tool to make it harder for black people to vote.
Yeah, actually, historians do not agree. It has no racial history at all. None. So there's no dispute among historians about that.
You got that? The Senate Minority Leader, who has posed in front of Confederate flags, by the way, while receiving awards and probably more importantly, money, says that there is no racial history at all regarding the filibuster. None. There's no dispute among historians. Once again, proof that there's no great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky hurling thunderbolts at people who tell howling lies in public in front of God and everybody. Because once again, chinless Moscow Mitch McConnell would be a greasy spot for having said that. Because you don't have to look very far at all. You can look to the 1964 Civil Rights Act. We've talked about this. Robert Byrd tried to use the filibuster to keep the 1964 Civil Rights Act from becoming law.
after the tens of thousands of people who showed up in August of 1963 to hear Dr. King, the lunch counter sit-ins, the bus boycotts, Robert Byrd, senator from West Virginia, wanted desperately to stop the Civil Rights Act, and he used the filibuster to try to do so. A racist moment that even Robert Byrd acknowledged, saying it was the worst thing he had ever done in his career as a senator. But you got to understand, in Moscow Mitch's world, there's no such thing as racism either. Because, you know, the Supreme Court of the United States, John Roberts presiding, Chief Justice, declared that America had no racism left in it. Remember that? Because I do. Mm-hmm. And he gets away with it. And nobody in the room screams, "You're a fucking liar!" Because, you know, got to preserve the access, got to keep your job, got to be polite to the racist goddamn Confederate thugs. There's a good use for thug. The man in Boulder was a homicidal maniac. The man in Boulder was a murderous monster, but a thug? Oh, there's your thug. Moscow Mitch McConnell. Thug. And he's not going to let H.R. 1 or the John Lewis Voting Rights Act get anywhere near law. I'll be surprised if he doesn't say it'll happen, you know, over his dead body. Because, Lindsey Graham has played that card. You can have my voter suppression when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. No racial history at all. And, you know, Robert Byrd was not the only one to use it. During the Jim Crow era, every time something, a bill would come up to try to alleviate the vicissitudes of Jim Crow, there was a conservative Southern senator there to filibuster the bill and make sure that Jim Crow remained the pernicious blight on the American people that it remained up until it was technically stricken by legislative action. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's just the action of the goddess of irony that makes this kind of shit bubble to the surface on the same day as America reels from another slaughter brought to you by the Colorado Shooters Association in conjunction with the National Rifle Association and a compliant, complicit, culpable judge. Just like we had the story of the West Virginia legislature taking up the constitutional amendment. Well, let's pop down to what Charlie Pierce refers to as the home of American sedition. South Carolina stand. In the state of South Carolina, in their Senate, there's a fellow there by the name of Tom Corbin. He is, of course, a Republican. Are there any Democrats in the state? No, I know there are. Just not many. But Senator Tom Corbin of South Carolina, well, he noticed something in the South Carolina Constitution that says that the governor down there can call up an unorganized militia of able-bodied male citizens between the ages of 18 and 45. Yeah. Well, Tom Corbin noticed that, so now he's putting forward a proposal that would make everybody over 17 years of age in the state of South Carolina be designated a member of an unorganized militia so they can be called up by the governor. And he said that would prevent the federal government from ever confiscating any of your weapons because you'd be a member of a well-regulated militia. Because at the end of the day, the federal government cannot disarm a standing army. Tom, buddy, can I call you Tom, you goddamn dickhead? Tom, you might want to check the history books there in your state capital in Columbia, because it might contain some records of the time when the federal government did exactly that. They disarmed a standing army. Yeah, that standing army tended to wear butternut and cooked roasted peanut shells and drank it for coffee because they was poor as Job's turkey and brokered in the Ten Commandments. Yeah, and when they did that, when they disarmed that there standing army, Tom, you might recall that they burnt everything that they could lay their hands on at the behest of their commander, William Tecumseh Sherman. Mm-hmm. The subcommittee, though, because the subcommittee consists of three people, the two good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian Republicans voted aye on the bill to turn everybody over 17 into a member of the militia in the state of South Carolina. The one Democrat said, mm-mm. And so tomorrow, it will go to the full committee for a hearing. Yeah. Democratic Senator Kevin Johnson didn't have anything good to say about it. He said, y'all, this country's crazy. We have homegrown terrorists. I'm sure those folks who stormed the Capitol on January 6th probably felt they were members of some type of militia. Of course they did. They carried the flag. And I don't mean the American flag. They carried the same flag that standing army that got its ass disbanded was carrying back 1865 or thereabouts. Yeah, Senator Tom, have yourself a little old mint julep, would you? And maybe learn a little bit of history. Reckon, maybe. That's a good question. Brother Deacon Asa says, when Marjorie Trader Green Q-Tip says that Arab thug in Boulder killed a bunch of Americans, does that mean that Marjorie Trader Green Q-Tip thinks the Arab wasn't American enough, or does she mean something even more sinister? Those Orientals gunned down in Georgia last week weren't Americans. Yeah, don't know how many Americans got gunned down in Atlanta. Maybe somebody should ask Marjorie Trader Green Q-Ball. Yeah. God, it just goes on and on and on. The killer in Boulder was deeply disturbed, according to his brother and the rest of his family, but I guess nobody did much about it. Oh, and I guess somebody got to the totally separate story, but somebody got to Yale. Over the course of the last four nightmare years of the maladministration of COVID Caligula, we've talked at great length, and I know Todd in South Carolina Stan brought it up from time to time, the work of Dr. Bandy X. Lee. Dr. Bandy X. Lee is a full-blown, no kidding, got the degrees, got the certificate suitable for framing and the and the secret decoder ring psychiatrist. And she has had long tenure at Yale University, Yale's medical school. Well, I don't know. Maybe one of those, maybe somebody sent a nasty gram to Yale or some such, but Yale has folded like a cheap suit and canned Dr. Bandy X. Lee for violation of the Goldwater Rule. And the Goldwater Rule was acknowledged to be out of date and inapplicable. But Yale nonetheless canned Dr. Lee for spending 4 years screaming from the burning rooftops that there was a crazy man in charge of the government, the executive branch of the United States of America. She's been fired. Yeah. And Dr. Lee has sued Yale. I don't know, maybe they were afraid they were going to get sued by Sidney What's-Her-Fuck, the goofball maggot lawyer who was going to release the Kraken and spent weeks amplifying and burbling and barking and burping about the corrupt election machines till she managed to get herself sued for $1 million by Dominion Vote, or $1 billion by Dominion Voting Systems. And, you know, Nitwit Nero was surrounded by pettifogging dickheads. Well, she sued back, or she sued. She filed suit in U.S. District Court in Connecticut, claiming, quote, Yale violated its contractual obligations to Dr. Lee and violated the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. Yale further committed the tort of negligent misrepresentation by not adhering to its policies on academic freedom upon which Dr. Lee had relied. I'm guessing Dr. Lee had tenure. I got a feeling Yale maybe cutting a check. Strong language, Dr. Lee pled, the reinterpreted Goldwater Rule created a gag order recommending that its members not comment on public figures even where there is a responsibility to society to protect public health. And, well, I hope the hell she wins. I do. And Jeremy jumped back in, taking us down to $45 as we wrap up the program this evening. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy said, I was hoping more people were sick of this shit and would channel their anger and help fulfill this challenge. A couple of exclamation points there. Thank you, Jeremy. I kind of was, too. But I'm really grateful to the ones who did jump in. There's a lot of donor fatigue out there. I know that for a fact. And a lot of fatigue just coming out of the general election. But $45 would finish, and we'd only be dealing with $140 from yesterday and whatever tomorrow is. But it would be hugely important because the bills don't let up. And that's how we keep this program on the air. I swear, I promise, if I won the lottery, there would never be another moment of fundraising on this program. Dear God, I get so sick of talking about it. But the only way that I can figure for this to continue is to talk about it. And by the way, Sidney Powell, the Kraken lawyer, she's down to arguing that she, Sidney Powell, is an unbelievable idiot. Nah, those are my words, but the lawyers defending her in the lawsuit that Dominion Voting Systems filed against her in defamation. Well, she's arguing now. No, her lawyers are arguing now that she's a non-credible twit. Quote, given the highly charged and political context of the statements, it is clear that Powell was describing the facts on which she based the lawsuit she filed in support of President Trump. She was only describing facts. Indeed, plaintiffs themselves characterized the statements at issue as wild accusations and outlandish claims.
They are repeatedly labeled inherently improbable and even impossible. Such characterizations of the allegedly defamatory statements further support defendants' position that reasonable people would not accept such statements as fact, but view them only as claims that await testing by the courts through the adversary process. But that's not what she was doing. She was stating them as fact. And you know that old law we talked about so much, or that old rule, when you've got lawyers, when they've got the facts, they pound on the facts. When they've got the law, they pound on the law. And when they've got neither one, they pound on the table. This is table pounding. Ah, come on, Your Honor. Nobody in there, her lawyers are literally pleading that nobody in their right mind would believe Sidney Powell. That's a hell of a defense, that is. I hope they're getting a good hourly, and I hope they're getting paid up front. Yeah. And so hopefully this will be bounced, this claim. And what's really amazing is when you realize that Sidney Powell is a former federal prosecutor, just like Trip Roy of Dribblin' Dick, Texas. And she spent time hoping to be noticed by and currying the favor of Nitwit Nero when she became noticed and, of course, promoted in right-wing media for attacking the Mueller investigation. Jesus, please, can Sidney Powell please stop being a lawyer? Will someone please take her law license from her? Hey, thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much for jumping in on the Sick of This Shit challenge. You've got $20 to go to meet Paul from Parts Unknown's challenge now. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you a ton. We're so close. So very close. Thank you. And Darlene, echoing my thoughts, oh my God, I hope Bandy X Lee sues the living shit out of Yale and knocks that majorly sexist Ivy League off its way too high horse. Even Trump's own niece, Mary, who has some serious street cred in psychology in her own right, said the Goldwater Rule is complete and utter bullshit and must be tossed into the dustbin of history where it belongs. That's my paraphrasing, Darlene says. Well, there seems to be a general agreement, yeah, that thing's garbage. And it's not a rule. How could a professional association issue such a rule? I mean, it does not withstand a reducto ad absurdum analysis. Assume a president in a clown suit with orange makeup all over his face, humping an American flag, and then talking about having his followers be violent to people, engage in violence. If you were a psychiatrist with a lifetime of experience and saw that and recognized the mental illness that was in it and didn't speak out, well, what did we say at the beginning of the program? The password is culpability. Yeah. And so that's it. That's Titanic Tuesday. I kind of lost it. Early in the program, if I put you off, I apologize. No, that's not an apology. That's a non-apology apology. I apologize. I apologize for being uncharitable. I'd say unchristian if I was a Christian, but I'm not. Wow. Thank you, Harold. Chairman and CEO of Sotrus, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, we are caught up both with yesterday and today. The challenge being finished off and Monday being finished off. That's so awesome, Harold. Thank you so very, very much. I'm glad I stayed on the air a couple of minutes longer so that I could thank you. Thank you, Harold. It means the world to not be digging out of a hole. And a bill is going to get paid. Thank you.
And thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. Some of you do all three. And it's amazing and wonderful. One or two or all three. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Just keep getting better, Ben. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and proving it once again as they lead and spearhead the drive for support of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, H.R. 2073, in the House of Representatives. If you have not reached out to your member of the House, especially if they're a Democrat, and asked them to sign on as a co-sponsor of H.R. 2073, the AIC Act, please, please do. It means the world. Literally, to people in Appalachia who breathe the poisonous dust and die for the sake of the coal industry, sacrifice their bodies for the sake of the coal industry. Please. You know, we're Americans too, you know. But I know you know. And so, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe, just as Paul from Parts Unknown points out. Remember, he said, don't think of your vaccine as your first line of defense, but as your last. Keep doing what you've been doing. Stay home when you can. If you have to be out, wear your mask, double mask, don't touch your face, wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Keep your social distance 15 feet between people who are masked and 15 parsecs between you and someone who isn't. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, I will never apologize for my tots and pears, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.